Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
As we prepare for the new thing, let us examine three quick applications. What's necessary for change? Change is going to happen. The important concept is how we respond to it and then how we embrace it. Change is going to happen. The females, you reach 35, going into your 40s. Change is starting to happen. It's not as obvious because you're still young. You're still full of vim and vigor. As you hit 40, 45, the change becomes more evident. You begin to develop symptoms of perimenopausal. You begin to have your own private summer. You don't go anywhere without your fan. Irritability sets in. Your hair begins to lessen. You find that the sweetness and the kindness that dominated your teens and 20s and early 30s is being replaced by an irritability as your body begins to lose some of the estrogen. As you begin to feel less feminine, your skin starts drying up. The ashiness becomes more prominent. Change is setting in. You don't have that same, I can get any man I want confidence. You start having that, I'll take anything I can get reality as change sets in. Let me tell you something. Society has not fostered an acceptance to the change. And so what the devil does is capitalize on your fear and your insecurity. Because you're not feeling so feminine as you get to 40 and 50 and older, and in most instances you have a man in your life that's about 40 and 50, right around your same generation, and he's undergoing the change, except God is unfair because a man reaches the height of his testosterone production at 17. After 17, it starts going downhill. You, the female, reaches the height of your sexual appetite and environment at around 30. And so by the time he catches up with you, you find that he is incapable of keeping up with you. And that's when you become a cougar. Because you're looking for someone who can keep up with your appetite. Why are all these older women looking for younger boys, even in church? It's a physiological response to a change. But if you have any sense, you should not date out of your generation. You a baby boomer in your 60s, you fooling around with some millennium 20, she wants to go out and party, and you just want to soak your feet. You better date somebody that shares your medication. So when you run out, you can borrow one of theirs. You better date somebody that knows the signs of your sickness. So when you sit there and start, they won't think you're reacting to their perfume. Don't date out your generation. I go to bed now, 7:45. My daughter come over, Dad, what you doing in bed? My generation. I remember when my mother used to get in bed at 7:30. I would say, what you doing in bed at 7:30? You'll see. And so when change comes, we aren't prepared for it. It catches us. When a man goes through change of life, and he does, they just don't have a medical name for it. Women are called men. I'm on pause. Men don't have one. They just call theirs, woman, leave me alone. But you will notice that when that change comes, he don't know what to do with it. So he starts reverting back to his youth. He's 50 years old out on the basketball court, trying to play basketball to impress that mama up in the stand. She 20 going, go ahead, daddy. She ain't calling you daddy out of passion. She calling you daddy because that's what you remind her of. A man opens up his shirt to show you them 5 and 6 hairs on his chest. He in menopause. His testosterone level's shrinking. He wears, you know, toupees and all this other stuff. He just wants to be young again, wearing cowboy boots and can't get his toe in because he's got diabetic feet. Wear your Gomer Pyle shoes with pride. You can't be wearing no batonis. You don't have a D no more. You got a quadruple E. It's all right. Get rid of the medallions. You don't need that no more. Only thing you need to wear around your neck is one of them health things that tell us what to do when you fall out in the middle of Broad Street. Put your buzzer on. I've fallen and can't get up. Change comes. What you need to learn to do is embrace your change. Make it work for you. Understand that when you're going through change, it's towards a healthy end. God said, I'm sending change. I believe the change is mental, emotional, psychological, and physiological. There's change coming. And you need to change with the change. I had a good run in my youth. I was able to eat many cheesesteaks and hoagies and pizzas and cheese fries. And I had a good run. But it's over now. I can't have a family slice of sweet potato pie now. Now I have to have a little sliver because the metabolism changes. Now the important card to carry in my wallet is my driver's license and my Blue Cross card. Used to be my credit card. But as I move to the land of fixed income, you change. If you don't change, you'll be swallowed up by your own lust. At some point, you stop spending. You don't need anything else. I don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore. Change. As change comes in our lives, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, it tells us that the whole earth was ungodly. And as a result, very unpopular to God. But it tells us that in the midst of this time where everyone's heart was continually evil, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I don't care what anybody says. I don't want the anointing if I can't have the grace. I don't want the power if I can't have the grace. Grace means the favor of God. It also secondarily means the presence of God. Wherever God is, there is grace. Whenever change comes, saints, you need grace. Grace to make the changes. Grace to change how you view yourself in the midst of the change. You need grace to make changes. All I want from God is grace. See, you thought grace was only for salvation. When Paul talked to God about moving that thorn, God said, I'm not moving it. My grace is sufficient. That means when you're going through, ask God, God, give me grace. Don't ask him to take you out of it. Say, God, give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace. I was on the Roosevelt Expressway going up to the Northeast, and I looked out my rearview mirror, and I saw these flashing police lights. They had 2 lanes, and they were coming up behind me, so I pulled over to let them pass. And as they passed me, there was a cordon of police cars. They were in 2 lanes on the boulevard. And in the middle, there were cars. And I took it to mean there was some big shot, maybe either going to a funeral or some family function, that had requested and received permission to have this police escort. So they were blowing through lights. They were, whenever they would come up to a light, the officers would flip on their sirens. And when they would get through the light, they turn the siren off and just go on the lights. And I'm on the same road that they're on. But I had to stop for the lights because I didn't have the grace of a police escort. Grace is designed not to make you better than anybody else, but to get you through it with the help of God. We were both on the expressway. We were both on that road, but their grace enabled them to go through the lights. Grace covers you to get you through the same test that everybody else is going through. We're not better. We have the same struggles as our brothers and sisters in the world. Some of us struggle with alcohol, with drug addiction, with being addicted to pornography. Some of us struggle with gossip and murmuring. We are not better than anybody else. We just have God's grace covering us to get us through this time of despair. Grace humbles us to receive God's best. So you need grace as we enter into this season of change. When things are going badly, we need grace. You can't make it in God without grace. If you do not see your grace, if you do not embrace your grace, you'll become arrogant and prideful, thinking that whatever accomplishment you have, whatever position you have reached, you will assume you did it on your own steam. But it was the grace of God that brought me this far. And grace will lead me home. Hallelujah.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart." You'll sit there and say, "Oh, the praise team ain't moving me." No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises, because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You've become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It's Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to evaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.